Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch, in lovely downtown Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, where the Flyers were beaten by Jonathan Quick and the Kings last night.
And that is an apt description. Jonathan Quick was outstanding in that game. Philadelphia deserved a better fate. At least should have got a loser point in that game. Did not, because Quick was so darn good. And you know what I saw last night? I don't know if you watched it, because there was so much going on TV last night, especially a good football game. Boy, oh boy, did Los Angeles expose the glove hand of Brian Elliott. They were shredding his glove hand yesterday, shredding it.
Well, Brian Elliott is one of those guys, right? Every time he seems to reestablish himself, he'll take a step or two back. And that's, you know, it's the same old story in Philly, isn't it?
You know what, though? He's played really well lately. You know, this is a team that won six straight games, and he was a big part of it. But that's the first time I've seen five holes on him, because that was his, when he came out of college at University of Wisconsin, that was his thing, was his five hole. But I didn't see what I saw last night. I hadn't seen that in a while, or probably never, with him in particular. So it's just something to pay attention to going forward. But you're right. I mean, I think Brian Elliott is a very competent NHL goalie. I really do. But I don't see him being a Stanley Cup winning goalie. But one of the things that I warned you about 2 years ago, and I'm going to keep warning you about, two teams trending higher, Philadelphia because of their young prospects and Boston because of their young prospects. And there's a celebration now in both cities because they are passing a lot of teams in the East with their young prospects.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Pierre LeBrun about that and much more after 6 o'clock. But even though that was the call on the Bergeron goal and Marchand had a good night and David Backes had a good night, it was DeBrusque and McAvoy who really, I mean, they seem to be getting better every time you tune in.
Because they're allowed to play. They're being turned loose. Charlie McAvoy is being allowed to play. Now, that being said, he's got an amazing mentor in Zdeno Chara. He really does. And DeBrusque has an amazing couple mentors in Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, guys that are, and David Krejci deserves a little bit of an impact on that too. But the young players in Boston, there's a built-in infrastructure of leadership there that really started back in 2011 with Chara, with Bergeron, with Recchi, and even Dennis Seidenberg and Chris Kelly. And you see how it pays itself forward. When you have those kinds of, and I'll count Sean Thornton in that too, now that I think about it. So when you put all the names together, it teaches, it passes on the legacy of what is being a Boston Bruin. And they're starting to grasp that, so they have an identity. And it's really important to understand that when you're putting a team together.
So they have a 5-point lead on the Montreal Canadiens.
And what, two or three games in hand?
Two games in hand. Now, that was two games in hand. And
they play tonight in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, yeah. So that's certainly what's at stake here over the next little while on this road trip for the Montreal Canadiens is quite evident.
Their season. Their season's at stake. You know it, I know it, and we've talked about this since late summer, early fall. This was a team that was not going to be a home ice team, talking about Montreal. So how are they going to do it? How are they going to make the playoffs? They're going to make the playoffs as a 7 or an 8 seed. That's how they were going to do it, and they were going to do it with Carey Price. They were going to do it with the power play being very good because of the addition of Jonathan Drouin and Shea Weber's big shot, and hopefully Galchenyuk and Petrie elevating from where they were last year. That hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it will not. It does not, because there's a long way to go. But this road trip, especially tonight, has to happen in a positive way. If it doesn't happen in Vancouver tonight, they got issues. They have major, major issues.
And especially if Buffalo wins and all of a sudden that 5-point becomes 7.
You mean Boston. If Boston.
Yeah, Boston. It becomes 7. And if Ottawa gets – who's Ottawa's playing tonight too? They got Minnesota at home.
They've got Minnesota at home. Yeah.
Let's assume, and Boston went through their injury problems, right? They've had that. That's when they were vulnerable, and the Canadians got in there for what, 1 day or 2 days? When you actually saw the Canadians in that slot, so assuming good health for both teams, which is not the case, obviously for Montreal right now, but assuming more or less what we're going to see the rest of the way, how do the Canadians catch them?
Well, Carey's got to be great. Power play's got to be good. Drew has got to heat up. Pacioretty has to heat up. and they can't have a lot of mistakes in their own zone. They just can't. So it's a very fine line. It's a very, very, very fine line. There, you will know, I will know, the fans will know by probably January the 2nd or 3rd whether they're realistically in the playoff hunt or not. We should know by then. Once you get to double digits, they're not making it. It's just it won't happen. So they've got to keep it in single digits, and they've got to start to show that they can be a consistent team.
You outlined how it has to happen for Montreal, if it's going to happen. For the coach, who we hear him so often emphasize board battles and lunch pail, blue-collar work ethic and team concept and that, can you, as a coach, occasionally get away from that and challenge guys individually, the players that you know are going to have to carry the ball for you?
Oh, my gosh, what a great point, Rod. Yes, absolutely yes. I won't say names, but I remember sitting in meetings with players who were supremely skilled players and saying, I know you want to do more, so now do more. Show me what you can do. I'm turning you loose. Go out there and get it done. So many times we see coaches hold players back or not challenge players enough. You know, one of the things I'm really proud of is the way Andrew Castles, Jeff Sanderson, and Pat Verbeek played for me, the CVS line, Castles, Sanderson, and Verbeek. And go look at their numbers over 2 years. Phenomenal, phenomenal numbers on a team that wasn't very mature and wasn't very good. But those guys were great because and our staff, not just me, but our staff, we turned them loose. So go out there and score, and they did. They scored tons.
Who did the Canadians get?
I think they have to do that.
Who did the Canadians get? Andrew Castles ended up having a pretty good career.
A draft pick, second round pick.
Was that Mark Peterson from out west? Is that his name? Was that his name, Mark?
I thought he was a first round pick from Seattle, Mark Peterson.
Yeah. Okay, we'll check. But anyway.
Well, just more consistency in our game than we've shown at times. And that's the thing that right now is hurting us, is that some games were extremely good. Some other games, like the last game we played in Ottawa, we're not. And, we're looking for consistency, night after night. And that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the good Montreal Canadiens hockey club tonight.
All right, there's Claude Julien. Just to correct myself, I don't know why Mark Peterson's name came out. As soon as you mentioned Andrew Castles, I always had them linked, but it was Val Bure.
Yep, the pick was Val Bure.
Yeah, it was a second-round pick, right, for Castles?
Yes.
And Peterson was a first-round pick, yeah, with Turner.
He was a big left-winger, right? He scored goals in junior?
Yeah, he was a really good goal scorer in junior. I think they had three in a row. Lindsey Vallis, correct me if I'm wrong, Rod.
Lindsey Vallis, yeah.
Lindsey Vallis, Turner Stevenson, and Mark Peterson, all three from Seattle Thunderbirds.
Brent Bilodeau, the defenseman.
And Brent Bilodeau. Okay, there
Remember
you go.
Him? Yeah, he was also a big hunkering defenseman who couldn't move that well.
So there you go. So they loved living. They were having a lot of fun in Seattle.
didn't translate to the NHL.
Turner was good.
I'm not counting Turner. Turner had a nice career.
Was good.
But those other guys, they just didn't pan out.
Turner was good, though. Give him credit. Turner was a very good player.
All right, so here's Claude Julien on the team he's facing tonight.
I expect them to be what they've been. They're a team that's come out strong in a lot of their games. They're a good skating team. I think they've surprised a lot of people, and that's where Travis has done a great job with his coaching staff of making this team a very competitive team. So I've always said there's no easy games in this league, and nobody should think that it's an easy game on either team, I guess, for that matter. But we need to focus on what we need to do, and we need to be better.
That's it. We need to be better. Interesting, Travis and his coaching staff, which includes Doug Jarvis.
Well, what we talked about yesterday, I warned you. I mean, this is the one thing I would tell you, and I don't expect people to know who Nolan Baumgartner is. I don't expect people to know who Newell Brown is. Everybody in Montreal knows who Doug Jarvis is. That's a great coaching staff, and I always look at legacy with coaching staffs. And Newell Brown spent a lot of time with Dave Tippett. Newell Brown was an outstanding player at Michigan State. He learned from the late Ron Mason. He coached with Davey Tippett. I look at Noel Baumgartner, who was a first-round pick, played for the Kamloops Blazers in the Western Hockey League. He was an outstanding world junior player for Canada. He's learned a lot. But the thing that stands out to me with Travis Green, playing for Al Arbor. He learned so much playing for Al Arbor. And so you look at the coaching legacy of a lot of guys and who they learn from, who they work with, who they play for, and that's how you determine a lot of how these guys get jobs and why they're good or they're not good.
We'll get back to the Habs. Yeah, sorry, Pierre. We'll get back to the Habs in a second. But yesterday at this time, it appeared that Brock Besser wouldn't be able to play. He was actually on crutches the other night. He stopped the shot. He skated. He's ready to play. And so is Eric Gudbranson. So all of a sudden, the assignment got a little more difficult for the Habs.
It's a little more difficult. But again, I'm just telling you straight up, and I do Vancouver radio every week, and I really enjoy the market. Some of my best days in broadcasting and even coaching, I've had some amazing wins out there. When I was coaching, I think the world of the place and the team and the organization, and I really like Trevor Linden a lot, their president. But they're not ready to win at this point. They're getting closer. I think next year is going to be a huge breakout year for them, much like I thought Boston, Philadelphia would have bigger years this year, and I think they're on their way to doing that. But I would say Vancouver's probably a year away from being where I think they can be.
So Weber is still with the team. He'll return to Montreal tomorrow. Pierre LeBrun reported earlier today that he's had a foot issue actually since opening night in Buffalo. So he's been trying, and obviously they finally have to shut him down. So the pairings are Petrie and Ben, Alsner and Yarabak, and Schlemko and Morrow. And in particular, Pierre, I see this, you know, again, as you pointed out, three teams that aren't in the playoffs, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. They could point to the Canes the same way, but in terms of what the expectation is, a real opportunity here for Yarabek and Morrow to show something, right? If they can't be good, if they can't be good and effective against in these three games coming up, then you got a question, can they be?
Well, you got a potential opportunity for 6 points before Christmas. If you don't have at least 4 points in the bank, that trip, then I think you're not making it. I really believe that. I truly, honestly believe that. And you nailed it. This is an amazing opportunity for so many players within that organization to really make a statement. Now, I don't know if they can do it or not. We'll see. But if they don't do it, I think it's a big problem.
And at the same time, like collectively, none of these players are expected to completely make up for the 26 minutes that Weber's playing a night. But at the same time, Pierre, I talked earlier, asked you about challenging a player. Like, these guys can go a long way towards solidifying their position in the organization moving forward and help their team in the here and now in a playoff chase. Like, so how do you take that approach while at the same time staying within yourself as a young player who's trying to establish something?
Well, I, as a head coach, I wouldn't put that on them. I'd have the assistant coaches deal with that, and I would message them through the assistant coaches. So if you're J.J. Daniel, you're working with Jarabek and Morrow in particular, and if up front you have people that you think can do the job, then you're dealing with Kirk Muller. That's where really smart head coaches delegate, because then the head coach can come in and either be the good cop or the bad cop, depending on how you want to present the message. But that's where that's why these staffs are so big now. And one of the things that hurts these big staffs is they don't delegate properly. And one of the things that helps these big staffs is when you do delegate properly, you can get a bunch of different messages out there in a really smart way. And that's one of the things they're going to have to do, I think, more than anything else, is delegate authority when it comes to messaging.
Pierre McGuire every day at 5:05 on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Craig Button is with the Habs doing the game on TSN Regional with John Bartlett. Craig will join us from Vancouver in about 15 minutes. Mitch?
And I think, Pierre, you know, everyone's making a big deal over the absence of Weber. And sure, now the defense, everyone has to elevate and step into different roles with Weber's absence. But the biggest issue hasn't been keeping the puck out of their net, even when Weber missed time in November. It's scoring goals at the other end. How much of that is because of the mobility of the defense, and how much of that is because they just don't have enough talent up front?
They don't have enough talent up front. Their defense. I mean, I read all the columns. All the columnists that are listening to this now, I read all your columns. Victor Mete was going to be the next breakthrough player. I read every single one of your columns. You all know it. So you guys didn't get it right. You got it wrong.
And wait, there's still time. There's still time, Pierre. Victor Mete is going to dominate at the World Junior Hockey Championship.
Help
bring a gold to Canada, and there is the belief, especially if Weber's still not ready, maybe they'll, instead of doing the right thing, maybe they'll actually bring him back.
Okay. Whatever. We move along.
All right. You can finish your answer.
No, but I'm listening to you.
No, go ahead and finish your answer.
No, what I was going to say was that, so the defense part of it is, I was expecting Petrie to have more of a breakthrough year with this team. That hasn't happened. They don't have enough puck-moving calibration on the back end to really upgrade that. but they do have more than enough skilled forwards. They do, but they don't have enough depth down the middle. So that's an internal, whatever has gone on there internally, and I don't know. I really do not know. Whatever's gone on there internally, they have miscalibrated on the finding center icemen that can help them. They have. They've just miscalibrated. I don't know how they've done it, but they have.
Pierre, one of the it was a theory, I suppose, more than a fact, because, you know, we discussed this a little bit yesterday about blue collar and Claude Julien and winning board battles and all of that. And, you know, going back to the trade deadline, what they did because they couldn't find any offense, including and especially down the middle, that maybe there is such an emphasis on the boards, on the ice surface, because they can't win battles through the middle of the ice with skill. They don't have it.
Okay, agreed. So here's my question. Who did they add that's a board battling player this year? Who did they add?
Well, they both Bergevin and Julien went to Laval. Somebody went down. I guess it was Lakenin, right? They finally shut him down, and they saw a game, and they brought up Nick Deslauriers, and that.
Okay, and that's fine. They acquired him on waivers. Maybe that was a trade with Buffalo. I forget now.
Yeah, it was a trade for Zach Redmond.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So it was a minor league transaction. That's what it was. And I said to you at the time, Nicky plays with a certain level of enthusiasm physically, and that's how he plays. And I like him as a depth player. But you're not winning games. You're not creating more offense with those players. Who are the elite board-battling players that are getting you offensive opportunities? They don't really have those players. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. You have Andrew Shaw, who's a great forechecker, and you have Byron, who will battle, and you have Gallagher, who, you know, is relentless.
Yeah.
That's it.
But
that's,
you know,
it.
That's it. It's hard. Just do yourself. If you really don't believe what I'm saying, go watch Philadelphia play against Los Angeles last night. Go watch New Jersey last night against Anaheim, and see what other teams have, and watch Boston play against Columbus and see what other teams have, and then tell me what you think.
Well, again, New Jersey winning that game against Anaheim, and again, the kids, it was...
They were down 2-0 and 3-1 in that game.
And they won 5-3. Nyssen, who we saw him beat Price the other night, and Miles Wood each scored a couple of goals.
And Miles Wood is one nasty son of a gun. He is one... He's Randy. If you're an old Buffalo Sabre Islander fan, he's Randy Wood's son. He played at Noble and Greenhouse School in Boston, same place as Jimmy and Kevin Hayes played. He's really finding his way. Kid that went to Boston College, he's going to be a very, very dangerous player in this league. That's the type of third and fourth line player you want to have.
So generally speaking, with Christmas 6 days away, how do you approach it for most teams? Like, are your guys looking ahead? I know it's not a long Christmas break, but it's a bit of a Christmas break. Is that some kind of demarcation point? Is it some kind of reference point? Are you worried about looking ahead, or does none of that apply?
I just really worry. I remember, again, this is all from Scotty and Bob Johnson, who I have so much respect for, my mentors in the business. This time of the year is really hard. You never want to be at home. Actually, you want to be on the road. It's better. Just because you can get your team to focus on just playing hockey, not buying Christmas presents. And I know this sounds so draconian, but not buying Christmas presents, not worrying about getting tickets for family and friends that are in town, not having to put up a Christmas tree, all that stuff. You don't worry about that stuff when you're playing on the road. Unfortunately, I mean, that sounds really barbaric, but that's, as a coach, you have to kind of think that way. But I think it's better for Montreal if they be on the road now than be at home. I really do.
There was a game played, as we mentioned off the top earlier today. It was no contest. Toronto 8, Carolina 1. Leafs back winning again without Austin Matthews. 4 points for Mitch Marner. Carolina, what's going on? I know the goaltending has been a big issue, right?
First of all, they're overrated. You know, I read all the pundits. I told you about this before the season started. Tell me what their defining issue is as a team. What's their one identity as a team that's going to make them elite? They don't have one.
Well, they got impressive young defensemen.
They do, but that's not an identity. How do you play? Do you play fast? Do you play robust? Do you play great on special teams? What's your identity as a group? They're the same up front. They're all the same.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was looking at them as an elite team, but just to get into the playoffs.
Oh really? Gosh. Yeah.
No, I just saw them as a possible playoff team.
This is going to be the big surprise team in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And Scott Darling's been the darling of everybody in the off season, and I like Scott Darling a lot. I don't know if he's a starting goalie in the league.
Well, he got torched by the Leafs tonight. Okay, so Montreal and Montreal-Vancouver tonight, Pierre. What would you expect?
I would expect Montreal to be really aggressive. And if they're not, then they have issues. I would expect Vancouver to try to push back. I think it comes down to a price game. If Carey's really good, then I think Montreal wins. If Carey's not great, then I think they have a hard time winning. Getting Besser back's a little bit of a bonus for Vancouver. Good Branson really helps them a lot. The underrated part of Vancouver, if you haven't watched them play a lot, and I totally understand why you wouldn't because of the late nights, their defense is way underappreciated. And they do have an identity. They can score off the rush. They can score off the rush, and that is a dangerous thing in this league today.
Where do you watch 9 games when you're in Philly?
Right in my room. Oh. I can't watch all 9, but I'll watch as many as I can in my room.
All right. Look forward to talking to you from the rink tomorrow in Philadelphia.
I look forward to that as well. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks a lot, Mitch.
I'd be borderline shocked, frankly, if Mark Bergevin made that call because, you know, it's not an easy call. Even though it seems that way from a fan perspective, to cut the kid loose and let him go and play for his country. The reason that NHL clubs do that with their NHL players is because of that experience, you know, in building their confidence and getting them an opportunity to once again play on the world stage. But there's a developmental flip side to that, too. You know, Bergevin and company want to see how he performs.
Darren Drager of TSN, regular insider on the morning show. Simon Salikas in this week for Connor McKenna. When we come back following Gallo's update, tickets up for grabs to the JFL Ethnic Show in the summer. And Craig Button with the Canadians in Vancouver.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.